From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen our broadcast and online streaming via voanews.id.
Hello listener, how are you today? I hope you're fine and I will accompany you for the next 60 minutes ahead for today's edition in our terrestrial program. We would like to present you some segments beginning from news across the country, and other interesting information, and of course Indonesian pop songs. Stay tuned to Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Listener, here is the news read by Ahmad Faisal. First, the headlines. President Joko Widodo asked China to import palm oil and fruits from Indonesia. Chinese Vice President Wang Qishan to attend President Joko Widodo's inauguration. Now the news in detail. President Joko Widodo expects China to increase import of palm oil or CPO from Indonesia. He expressed his hope when he met with Chinese President's Foreign Relations Advisor Song Tao and his entourage at the Presidential Palace in Bogor, West Java on Friday. Deputy Foreign Minister A.M. Fahir at Presidential Palace in Bogor explained that President Joko Widodo expects China's import of crude palm oil or CPO would be increased, as well as various other commodities such as fruits. For investment, President Joko Widodo hopes that China will see opportunities for cooperation in producing export-oriented products to countries in Africa, the Middle East, including the United States. While investing in infrastructure, President Joko Widodo hopes that China can continue to synergize, including through the Belt and Road Initiative program with the Indonesian Maritime Axis. Chinese Vice President Wang Qishan will attend the inauguration of Joko Widodo and Ma'ruf Amin as President and Vice President for the 2019 up to 2024 period next October. This was stated by Deputy Minister of Foreign Affairs A.M. Fahir after accompanying President Joko Widodo, who received Song Tao, Foreign Relations Advisor of President of the People's Republic of China, Xi Jinping, at the Presidential Palace in Bogor, West Java on Friday. The arrival of Wang Qishan, according to Song Tao, proves that bilateral relations between Indonesia and China are closely intertwined. Fahir also pointed out that China has paid better attention, and this shows a very important and strategic relationship between China and Indonesia. Minister of Public Works and Public Housing Basuki Hadimulyono said that Second Jakarta Cikampek Elevated Toll Road Second JAPEC is going to operate by the end of November 2019, so that this road will smoothen the flow of homecoming in the Christmas and New Year 2020. The second JAPEC will also be the longest bridge in Indonesia, because everything is elevated. In his official statement in Jakarta Friday, Minister Basuki said that this toll road is awaited by the public. President Joko Widodo also paid great attention to the completion of this toll road section because it would support the smooth mobility of logistic transportation from Tanjung Priok Port to industrial estate in Cikarang, Karawang, Cibitung, Bandung, and Trans Java toll roads. The Swiss railroad manufacturer Stadler Rail signed an investment agreement with PT Inka in the form of establishment, a joint venture company to build a railroad factory in Banyuwangi, East Java. The signing was carried out by executive chairman of Stadler Rail, Peter Spuler, and president director of PT Inka, Budi Noviantoro, and witnessed by Minister of State-Owned Enterprises, Rini Sumarno, and Indonesian ambassador in Bern, Muldiarman Hadad, at the Stadler Rail headquarters in Busnang on Friday. This was reported through Social and Cultural Information of Indonesian Embassy in Bern. Minister Rini Sumarno stated that this investment supports the development of transportation facilities in Indonesia. Considering the volume of train passengers continues to increase every year, Ambassador Mulyaman stated that in addition to obtaining investment and technology transfer and meeting the needs of railways in Indonesia, the production of the joint venture company also has a great opportunity to be exported to countries in the region. 20 kilograms of swallow bird nest samples from Lembata, East Nusa Tenggara, NTT, is exported to Brunei Darussalam and Thailand by the Ministry of Agriculture through NDE Agricultural Quarantine of the Lembata Working Area. Head of the NDE Agricultural Quarantine, Julius Umbu Hunggar, told Antara in Kupang on Friday that the potential demand for swallow's nest is very huge and attracted many investors. He also pointed out that at present, swallow's nest products in Ende and other districts in Flores cannot be exported directly. Julius hopes that the swallow's nest sample can be accepted by Brunei Darussalam and Thailand so that it can encourage the swallow's nest breeders to work harder. West Java premium coffee producer Graf Farm Indonesia signed a memorandum of understanding with its partner Bosque Bridge 2 Slovakia for shipping coffee worth 1 million euros to Central Europe in Bratislava, Slovakia. The memorandum of understanding was signed by Chief Executive Officer of PT Inti Graf Farm Indonesia, Yugian Leonardi, and his partner, Director of Broski Bridge 2 Slovakia, Lukas Odrisak, and witnessed by Indonesian Ambassador to Slovakia, Adi Yatwidi Adiwoso Asmadi, at the Indonesian Embassy in Bratislava, Slovakia. Yugian said that Graf Farm chose Broski because of the company's commitment to include the originality of Indonesian coffee products on each product produced and carried out promotions in Slovakia and Central Europe. A total of 92 new entrepreneurs participated in the Banjarmasin Expo 2019 to commemorate the 493rd anniversary of Banjarmasin City at the Objek Tourism Siring Sungai Martapura. The event takes place on 20th to 25th September 2019, featuring a variety of regional superior products, which are the products of micro, small, and medium enterprises, such as food and sasirangan fabrics. Deputy Mayor of Banjarmasin Hermansyah, who opened Banjarmasin Expo 2019 on Friday, said that this event is a step to promote regional products and introduce regional culture with a variety of distinctive products. Banjarmasin City is a city of trade and transit for the provinces of East Kalimantan and Central Kalimantan. Well, listener, that's the news read by Ahmad Faisal. Thank you for listening.
Kesawan RRI sekali di udara tetap di udara semenjak 45 tak pernah berhenti patuh dan setia berjiwa Pancasila kita setia pada sekerjanya ampera tujuan utama untuk pengabdian pada revolusi
demi Tuhan, demi Pertiwi. Sukai di udara, tetap di udara. Semboyan kami, angkasawan RRI. Sukai di udara, tetap di udara. Semenjak 45 tak pernah berhenti. Padu yang setia berjiwa Pancasila. Kita setia landasan kerjanya, ampera tujuan utama. Penuh pengabdian pada revolusi, demi Tuhan demi Pertiwi. Sekali di udara tetap di udara.
News from Indonesia starts with information from Cianjur. Three athletes with disabilities from Cianjur, West Java, will represent the West Java contingent in the 16th National Paralympic Week or PPN in Papua 2020. Chair of the National Paralympic Committees Indonesia or NPCI Cianjur, Abes, told reporters on Thursday, the three athletes will represent three sports, namely table tennis by Zainal Abidin, badminton by Devi, and athletics by Nanang Sobari. At present, they are following regional training centers in Bandung and Bekasi. The next information comes from Bali. Denpasar City holds the 2019 Green City Festival. The Department of Environment and Hygiene of Denpasar City, Bali held the 2019 Green City Festival in an effort to increase the quantity and quality of green open spaces that are environmentally friendly in the city. Head of the Denpasar City Department of Environment and Hygiene, Ketut Wisada, said on Thursday that the activity was a collaboration between the city government and the environmental community to success the government program in strengthening the environment and ultimately had an impact on improving the health status of the people. This activity was also accompanied by the launching of the Denpasar Plant Lover or PPT book, the handover of CSR assistance in the form of the TVS Trash Cargo Motorbike, and the awarding of the Green Village Award to Kesiman Village. And the last information is Temanggung set Friday as Coffee Drinking Day. The Temanggung Regency Government Central Java set Friday as a coffee day for the local community through the circular of the Temanggung region. Temanggung region M.L. Hazik said he issued the circular with consideration that coffee is one of the regional superior products and has been determined as a geographical index of Temanggung Regency. He said that after opening the 2019 Temanggung Coffee Festival in the parking lot of the Temanggung Youth Building last Thursday, that the promotion and increase in consumption of Temanggung original coffee was a step in developing coffee production to improve people's welfare. All government agencies and private sectors in Temanggung Regency were advised to serve coffee every Friday. And listener, that was news from Indonesia for this week.
Voice of Indonesia.
We start with Malta gained independence from Britain on September 21, 1964. Republic of Malta is an archipelagic country in southern Europe. Malta consists of five islands, three of which are inhabited in the middle of the Mediterranean. Its strategic location has led Malta colonized by many rulers over the centuries. In 1789, Malta was colonized by French, and not long after that, Britain colonized the country. In 1921, Britain granted autonomy status to Malta, but the Maltese people won full independence. Entering 1958, the resistance movement of the people of Malta became stronger. Finally, the country gained independence from Britain on September 21, 1964. Next event of the World Peace Day on September 21st. The International Day of Peace, sometimes unofficially some called World Peace Day, is celebrated every year on September 21. This memorial is dedicated for the sake of world peace and in particular for the sake of the end of war and violence. International Day of Peace was firstly celebrated in 1982 and defended by many countries, political groups, the military, and society. In 2013, for the first time, the memorial was dedicated by the Secretary General of the United Nations for peace education as a means of prevention, which is important to reduce prolonged war. We end today's edition of Today in History with an event happened on September 21, 1999. An earthquake measuring 7.6 on the Richter scale struck Taiwan and killed more than 2,416 people and injuring more than 11,441 people. The earthquake occurred in Qiqi, Nantou, the Republic of China, at 1:47 local time. The epicenter was located in the line of 23.85 north latitude and 120.82 east longitude lines, 9.2 kilometers southwest of Sun Moon Lake. The depth of this earthquake was 8.0 kilometers. Listener, that was Today in History.
a song titled Tiga Salamu or Your Three Mistakes by Bunga Citra Lestari. You're still with me, Amanda, on Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world. For the next segment, we will present you our program Indonesiaku or My Indonesia. Stay tuned.
Voice of Indonesia.
My Indonesia for today is on Ministry of Maritime Affairs cooperates with ILO to train Lombok tourism workers. The Coordinating Ministry for Maritime Affairs in collaboration with the International Labour Organization or ILO held a training related to increasing productivity, product quality, and production efficiency or sustaining competitive and responsible enterprise training hospitality coaching or SCORE HOKO in Lombok, West Nusa Tenggara Province on Wednesday. This training was held on the 17th and 18th of September in Mataram as an effort to improve the human resource of the tourism sector in the area. Maritime Education and Training Deputy Assistant Coordinator for Maritime Affairs, TB Hairu Rahayu, said in a press release in Jakarta on Wednesday that the Lombok area was chosen for this cooperation because post-earthquake Lombok as a tourist destination was being activated again. TB Hairu explained that the SCORE HOKO is a training program concept that has been developed by the ILO. It is conducted with learning methods about new procedures related to ways to increase productivity, product quality, and production efficiency of a company or business unit with the lowest possible financing. According to Hairu, this training is intended for small and medium enterprises who have a desire to develop and are committed to running the program, including providing the data needed to monitor company development. The initial phase of the training involved SMEs in 4 districts and 1 city with a total of 50 participants as well as several people from the local government. The 4 districts are North Lombok, Central Lombok, West Lombok, and East Lombok, and 1 city, Mataram City. He added, monitoring will be carried out with an evaluation every 3 months. If the evaluation results are good or satisfying, it will be given facilities such as communication access and others. Hairu is optimistic that everything is going well, so that these SMEs can increase their management capacity from bookkeeping to become bona fide. This will support the government's program to make Lombok a priority destination in Indonesia. And listener, that was my Indonesia for today.
Jambu luruh di kotamu, ku ayun sendiri langkah-langkah sepi, menikmati angin menabuh daun-daun, mencari gambaranmu di waktu lalu, sisi ruang batinku rindukan pagi tercipta nelangsa merenggut sukma terwujud keinginan yang tak pernah terwujud aku tak bisa pindah ke ku harus menepi. Biduklah ditambatkan berlabuh di pantaimu. Sisi ruang batinku hampa rindukan pagi tercipta nelangsa
That's a song titled Tak Bisa Kelain Hati or I Cannot Move On by Kla Project. You're still with us on Voice of Indonesia. For the next segment, we will present you Indonesian Wonder about tourism and also local wisdom of Indonesian people. Stay tuned to Voice of Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Hello listener, welcome back to Indonesian Wonder. Today, I introduce you the traditional culinary of Madura, namely Serpang rice. Stay tuned. Listener, Serpang rice is one of traditional cuisines of Bangkalan, Madura, precisely at Sabian Village, Bangkalan Sub-District, Bangkalan Regency. The recipe of the cuisine was created by a woman named Hajah Turah, and she inherited the recipe to her 7 children. Her children continued her Serpang rice business in several areas across Bangkalan City. Serpang rice is quite similar like other mixed rice found in other regions across Indonesia. However, Serpang rice has its own uniqueness and characteristic. The food is served in a unique way. The rice can be easily found in the main street across Bangkalan City. Serpang rice is made from fluffy rice so that it tastes perfectly when it is combined with delicious side dishes. Serpang rice tastes more perfect with the combination of side dishes such as vermicelli, fish, salted egg, oyster, chili paste, and crackers. Usually, Serpang rice vendors began selling the rice from 6 a.m. People already queue to buy the rice even before the vendors serve the rice. Serpang rice costs 15,000 rupiah per portion. So listener, that was Indonesian Wonder for today. I'm Budi Savitadela. See you next time.
Semuanya telah terjadi. Cintaku telah pergi. Dan kini ku sendiri tanpa dirimu lagi. Tak mudah menepis cerita ini.
From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program.
That's a song titled Semusim or A Season by Marcel. You're still with us on Voice of Indonesia, and for the next segment, we will continue with our program Miscellany. Stay tuned to Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Voice of Indonesia.
Hello listener, Voice of Indonesia. Welcome back in Miscellany. Today, we will inform you about 2019 National Culture Week. Stay tuned. Directorate General of Culture at the Ministry of Education and Culture will hold the 2019 National Culture Week at Istora Senayan, Gelora Bung Karno Complex, Jakarta on 7th to 13th of October 2019. This event is designed to be one of the platforms in a bid to realize the cultural advancement strategy in the community. This year, the event carries the theme Happy Indonesian Joint Space. This theme refers to the second stanza of the song Indonesia Raya, Marilah Kita Mendoa, Indonesia Bahagia. The selection of the theme is in accordance with President Joko Widodo's speech at the close of the last Indonesian Cultural Congress that the core of culture is excitement. According to the Director General of Culture, Hilmar Farid, there are at least five main activities in the holding of the National Cultural Week: folk games competitions, conferences on cultural promotion, cultural exhibitions, performances of national cultural works, and cultural parades. For the folk game competition, it is held based on objects of cultural advancement from the region to the center. The activity involves many parties, from the provinces to the schools, through various folk games competitions, such as gobak sodor, terompah panjang or bakyak, stilts, and lari balok. The cultural exhibitions will showcase the cultural richness of 34 provinces, the ministries and institutions' intervention in the promotion of culture, archipelago outlook or wastra, intangible cultural heritage, world heritage, and pilot villages for cultural advancement. While the Cultural Advancement Conference will discuss traditional knowledge, floriculture, cultural economy, the origins of DNA, and food security. For the cultural parade, this activity becomes the main event awaited because it is going to be attended by around 10,000 participants who perform Nyawiji Ride, Suara Anak Bangsa and Rampak Nusantara or 640 GSMS, 200 Indonesian Permai Dancers and Marching Variations. Danny Malik, an artist who participates in the parade, will perform a choreography entitled Digdaya Indonesia Parade. It is aimed to show the cultural treasures of Indonesia as a country with powerful culture. Later, the design and layout of the National Cultural Week is not separated from the treasures of Indonesian culture. Through the concept created, the visual space outside the Istora Senayan area will be designed by taking Indonesian cultural symbols. Listener, that was Miscellany for today. See you next time.
Aku sudah tak bisa untuk menangis, dan aku sudah tak bisa untuk berkata, aku sudah tak bisa untuk mencinta selain dirimu.
That was a song titled Tak Pernah Kubayangkan by Nindi, or I Have Never Imagined by Nindi. You're still with us on Voice of Indonesia, and I'm going to take you to find out more information about Indonesian music. So here is our program Music Corner. Stay tuned.
Voice of Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world. In today's edition, we will present a keroncong song. The title of the song is Rayuan Kelana. Rayuan Kelana is an old song which was composed by Ismail Marzuki on November 15, 1944. The song describes the fame of Indonesia since Majapahit and Sriwijaya kingdoms. Peace of beauty makes nomads always miss and want to go back to Indonesia. The song is still relevant until now. Homesickness on homeland of Indonesia always exists in heart. Here is Rosniati Syam with her song titled Rayuan Kelana.
Voice of Indonesia.
Pelampiasan cinta agar dia kembali padamu tanpa peduli sakitnya aku.
Voice of Indonesia.
We end our program English Terrestrial, so thank you very much for your attention, and we would like also to remind you that you can give your comments to our social media like Facebook, The Voice of Indonesia, Instagram, voice.of.indonesia, Twitter @voindonesia, and also send us your email to our email address voi@voinews.id. Thank you for joining us and have a great day.